So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 5, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 30.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
While departing from
Kripaya,
by causeless mercy,
Dinavatsala,
those who are very kind to the poor and meek. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. As they were leaving, those Bhakti Vedantas, who are very kind to poor-hearted souls, instructed me in that most confidential subject, which is instructed by the Personality of Godhead Himself. A pure Vedantist, or a Bhakti Vedanta, instructs followers exactly according to the instructions of the Lord Himself. And the Personality of Godhead, both in the Bhagavad Gita and in all other scriptures, has definitely instructed men to follow the Lord only. The Lord is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. The whole manifested creation is existing by His will. And by His will, when the whole show is finished, He will remain in His eternal abode with all His paraphernalia. Before the creation, He was there in the eternal abode. And after the annihilation, He will continue to remain. He is not, therefore, one of the created beings. He is transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that long before the instruction was imparted to Arjuna, the same was instructed to the Sun God, and in course of time, the same instruction being wrongly handled and being broken was again instructed to Arjuna, because he was his perfect devotee and friend. Therefore, the instruction of the Lord can be understood by the devotees only, and no one else. And the impersonalist who has no idea of the transcendental form of the Lord cannot understand this most confidential message of the Lord. The expression most confidential. Significant here because knowledge of devotional service is far, far above knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. Jnanam means ordinary knowledge or any branch of knowledge. This knowledge develops up to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Above this, when it is partially mixed with devotion, such knowledge develops to knowledge of Paramatma, of the all-pervading Godhead. This is more confidential. But when such knowledge is turned into pure devotional service, and the confidential part of transcendental knowledge is attained, it is called the most confidential knowledge. This most confidential knowledge was imparted by the Lord to Brahma, Arjuna, Uddhava, etc.
Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Jatāparakama, Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha, Shri Rupam Savirjātam, Sahagana Lālanatam Vitantam Sajīvam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Dita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha.
So there is confidential, more confidential, and most confidential knowledge. Therefore, Krishna says, any Bhagavad Gita, Raja Guhyam, this is the most secret of all secrets. So what is this knowledge anyway? And why is it important? Is this simply some fancy philosophy to titillate our imagination, or is it practical? It is most practical knowledge. Because at the present moment, we are very much entangled in karma chakra. We are being dragged by our material desires from one body to another body to another body to another body. Unlimitedly, ad infinitum. We remain perpetually in this karma chakra. And then, if we haven't gotten liberated by the time of the universal devastation, Mahavishnu inhales the universe back into his body, then we go in a dormant state and reside for some time in the body of Mahavishnu. And then when he exhales, we come out again and pick up where we left off in our karma chakra. So, it's pretty entangling. So we have a choice. God has given us a free will. What do you want? Do you want birth, death, old age and disease? Or do you want eternity, knowledge, and bliss? You can have whichever one you want. No one's going to force you. If you think suffering is more fun than transcendental bliss, then go for it. You see, what does suffering mean? Sense gratification. Instant pleasure. If I want to gratify my tongue, I do it. I want to gratify my genitals, I do it. I don't have to worry about any regulative principles. I just enjoy it. Okay, that's what you want. But you will get the result. You will get the result. And the result is old age, disease, and death. As long as you remain a servant of the senses, this is not an indriya seva. As long as you remain a servant of those voracious senses, then you must take one body after another body after another body. But this is an unnatural position for you. This is not your actual situation. By nature, you're eternal. You're full of bliss and knowledge. You never get old. You never get sick. You never die. That is your natural position. So, by taking an unnatural position of wanting to be the center of existence, of wanting to be the Lord of all you survey, now you have to take the material body that goes along with it. So those who are intelligent, those who are sober, they take advantage of the Bhaktivedantas. Especially for us, we take advantage of the greatest Bhaktivedanta. In the nine grace, they see Bhaktivedanta Tidandi, Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, our beloved founder Acharya. We take advantage of instructions. Just as here in Sri Narada, as a little boy, he was serving these great sages, the Bhaktivedantas. Before they left, you see, they're traveling. They took some time off for the Chaturmasya, the rainy season. But having finished the rainy season, they're heading out again. The Bhaktivedantas are not attached to any particular place of residence. They're only attached to Krishna. And to service to Krishna, and to teaching others how to serve Krishna. That is their only attachment. As described here by Prabhupada and in the translation, they are very kind of poor hearted souls. So, poor hearted means one who was entangled in karma chakra, one who is being dragged through birth, death, old age, and disease. That is poor hearted souls, pitiful, in a pitiful condition. So the Bhaktivedanta says, even though he's only a little boy, you see, they took all time and trouble to train him. So we shouldn't think that just training is only for adults. Here we see a little boy being trained by these precepts of the Bhaktivedanta to understand the most confidential subject matter. I see sometimes all the children, they don't really know what's going on. I did a program the other day in one of the Bhakti Viksha programs in Sydney. And I asked the children to repeat after me. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They couldn't even say it. They couldn't even repeat the words. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. They couldn't even repeat it back to me. We went one more at a time. I said, Krishna. And they repeated, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and God. And that they could do. But I asked them to say the whole phrase, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And one boy started crying. He was the Buddha to say such a thing. So we really have to, you know, we have our, we have to train these children. This is Narada Muni, who's perfectly trained in these sages. To understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I'm his eternal servant. Another point here, that most confidential subject which is instructed by the Personality of Godhead himself. In other words, the Bhaktivedantas are not giving their own philosophy. They are not mental speculators. They are simply repeating what has been taught by Krishna. So this is the perfection of philosophy. In the modern world, the philosophers, they try to dream up some new philosophy, concoct some new philosophy that defeats all the other philosophies they want to be the fastest philosophical gunslinger on the planet. And this way establish themselves as the biggest philosopher. But this is not the way of the Bhaktivedantas. They are simply humble message bringers, that's all. Humble message bringers. And Krishna has said, he is the Supreme Personality of God. And therefore I am teaching you, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. They don't claim anything of their own invention. The Bhaktivedanta is simply delivered to you what Krishna has given in its original pure form. They are like the DHL man, the honest DHL man, who simply delivers the package of something. Krishna has given the original teaching, and the Bhaktivedanta, they give it in its pure form. And because they don't tamper with it, because they don't add something to it, because they did not subtract anything from him. Therefore, it has the full potency in Krishna. In fact, it becomes even more potent. As you know, it becomes even more potent. And this is described with Shukadeva Goswami. He heard Bhagavatam from Srila Vyasadeva, and then he repeated it to Rishab Maharaj. So why is he called Shuka? Shuka means parrot. Parrot, you can just teach him anything and he'll say it, you see. He doesn't know what it means. It's like in Fiji, we were preaching in one remote island, Tevi Uni Island, in one remote householder's home, way, way off, with no electricity, no running water, very remote area. But they had a little parrot in the backyard, and they trained the parrot to say, Haribol! 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 All day long, without them, they're going, Haribol! 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 Is it? But what does it mean to him? It means, give me something to eat. So, the Bhaktivedanta are not parrots in that sense. They just blindly say something with no comprehension. No. They repeat verbatim what they have heard, but different from that Haribol parrot, they enhance. Just as the parrot is described, by piercing the mango fruit with his beak, increases the sweetness of the mango. So because the Bhakti Vedantas are very, very expert presenting the philosophy in a manner suitable for the time, the place, and the audience, by their presentation it becomes sweeter, 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 sweeter. So this is one of the characteristics of these Bhaktivedantas. They take the status as sweet, and by very expertly, intelligently, intuitively presenting it to that particular audience in such a way to grab the heart and soul of the audience, you see, captivate them. Therefore they are called Shuka. Like parrots, because they enhance the sweetness. So there's very, very, so many nice points in these purports. We can go on speaking for hours and hours and hours, but we only have a half an hour left, so we'll try to at least extract a few tidbits of nectar from this unlimited ocean. Nectar is perfect. Prabhupada is explaining the personality of God, both in the Bhagavad Gita and all of the scriptures, that instructed men to follow the Lord only. Does that mean you don't follow the devotee? You only follow the Lord? Prabhupada says the Lord only. I didn't want to take a guru anyway. This is great. This is what I needed. Prabhupada says, follow the Lord only. Only follow the Lord. That means I don't need a guru, I don't need to serve the devotees, just follow the Lord, right? Right? No. What does it mean to follow the Lord only? And to do whatever he said, and don't do anything else. And that's it. Whatever Krishna says, the devotee does. That's it. Finish. What Krishna says, become the devotee of my devotee. Lord Chaitanya says, Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamala Yara Dasa Dasa Nidasa. So becoming a follower of the Lord only doesn't mean you only serve the Lord. It means you only do what the Lord says. That's what it means. And since the Lord says, accept Guru, to serve Vaishnava, you do that. So still, you are serving the Lord only. Not that by accepting a guru, now I'm not no longer a devotee of Krishna, I'm just a disciple of my guru, and that's it. No. You are serving the Lord only because he has instructed you, this is what you should do. So this principle is very important to understand. We have no one but Krishna as our Lord, as Lord Chaitanya prayed. And he should remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or leaves me broken-hearted by not being present before me, you are my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Within that service to Krishna, we serve so many guru, Diksha guru, Siksha guru, Varnava Darshaka guru, Vaishnavas, so much service is there. But it's all following the Lord only. Another point is that Krishna is beyond this material existence. People have this idea that how could somebody exist outside of this material existence? They can't conceive of it. You know, how could he get there, you see? We have this idea either through material science or Vedic science, how the universe came into being in a certain way. And within it there's so many things that have existed. That we can conceive of. But the idea of somebody that exists outside of what we know of as this existence, you see, is inconceivable to us. I mean, how could Krishna just be there with nobody putting him? How did he ever get there to begin with, one could ask, you see? These things are inconceivable to us. Where did he come from, you see? But we have to understand that he didn't come from anywhere. He's just there because, and why is he there? Because he wants to be there. That's it. So this is important to understand that Krishna is beyond what we know of his existence, our normal conception of existence. He's far beyond that. Another point here is about the succession breaking. This is an important responsibility because when you become a disciple in this specific succession, it's your duty to purely transmit it, not to break it. Prabhupada told us we have sahajas in this movement. That means they're breaking the specific succession. They're not purely presenting. We, in other words, people bring in different ideas, you see, that are not coming in Prabhupada's books. We have to be very careful with this. We have to be very, very careful. Some people are saying, you know, we have to get out of Vaidhi Bhakti, this way into Raghamara Bhakti, you know. Start meditating and being a gopi and start neglecting the regular principles because you don't want to be tied down by Vaidhi. You want to go into Raga. People are actually saying that, some devotees in this kind of teaching like this. Maybe not here, but I mean, I'm traveling all over the world and I'm seeing what's going on. So one has to be careful of this kind of stuff. This sahaja is a problem. It happened when Prabhupada was here also in Los Angeles, the Gopi Baba Club. Prabhupada was furious. He disbanded it. So we have to, how do you protect yourself? One disciple was hearing in one country, he was hearing all these devotees preaching all this sahaja philosophy. He's bewildered by it. He didn't know what to think. He wrote me so many emails, one after another, all the doubts he was having, and I just smashed them one after another, after another, after another. And then he said, yes, now I've understood. So it's very important that we read Prabhupada's books, we understand what Prabhupada is saying in these books. Even when Prabhupada was here, of course the sahaja thing, there was also a Mayavadi contamination one time in ISKCON. Prabhupada gave sannyas to four, there was hardly any sannyasis back in 1970. Kirtanananda was there, I don't know who else. But he gave four men sannyas in Los Angeles in 1970. And then they got this idea that Prabhupada was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Mayavadi conception, you see. And they were preaching it. And they were saying, anybody who doesn't accept this, they should get out of the movement. It was a horrible thing. Prabhupada was in India at the time. And the devotees were bewildered. there's a big festival. Now we have big festivals in India, like Mayapur Festival. But there was no Mayapur in Vrindavan then. We hadn't developed anything in India. The only thing, it was one big festival every year, was the Janmashtami Festival in New Vrindavan, and there was the Rath Yatra in San Francisco. These were the two big festivals of the whole movement. So the Sannyasi showed up at the Janmashtami Festival, and all the devotees came, and they were pounding this heavy Mayavadi philosophy. And the devotees were bewildered. They said, this doesn't sound right, but they didn't know how to defeat it. They were looking in the books, you know, getting and looking to the next devotion, trying to find something to defeat this. They knew it wasn't. They could sense there was something wrong here, but they didn't know what to say. And then they wrote Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, there, he banned them from going to any ISKCON temple. Those four sannyasis were banned from ISKCON. He didn't reject them as disciples, but he forbid them to go to any ISKCON temples. When he gave them the order to purify them, you must split up. Each one of you go out and open 10 temples each, and then you can come back after you've done your penance for this mistake. So we have to be, we have to really be on the lookout. Prabhupada had to personally deal with this Mayavadi contamination and Sahaja contamination coming into this guy. So we really have to know these purports. We have to read these books thoroughly. We don't want to break this pure knowledge of bhakti and have it contaminated by Mayavad or by Sahaja philosophy. It's very, very important we understand the science of bhakti as Prabhupada has given it. It's not that we, sometimes devotees want to jump to Bhaktivinoda Kaur, or they want to jump to different books of different Goswamis, and they come up with some idea, they say, it's different than what Prabhupada said. It's because of an incomplete, immature reading of other books. But if we read Bhaktivinoda Thakura's statement in the Hari Nam Chintamani, the founder of Acharya is the authority, and anyone who teaches something different, his teaching is rejected. So that's it, a simple thing. If there's anything, which, any teaching you hear which is not confirmed by Prabhupada, it's rejected. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, who it is. Could be anybody, it doesn't matter. Prabhupada is our one authority in this movement. If anybody speaks differently than what Prabhupada says, we reject. This is nonsense. That's how we keep our sampradaya pure. By taking Prabhupada as the authority. Others have authority insofar as they purely represent Srila Prabhupada. Nobody can introduce something different from Prabhupada and be accepted as an authority in this movement. They cannot be. The only ones who can be accepted as authorities in this movement are those persons who repeat as Prabhupada has given. And it's right there in his books, in his lectures, his letters. Everyone can study these things and can understand what is the actual message that Prabhupada has given us. What is the Siddhanta that Prabhupada has given us. So in this way, each one of us are meant to be caretakers or caretakers is a good word. It's a very good word. Caretakers of the teachings of Prabhupada. We should know what they are and we should keep them. Make sure that this is the understanding that's going on in society. Whatever Prabhupada's teachings are, that understanding must be there. And Prabhupada noted there's a tendency for us to concoct other things. I remember in one letter he said, there are so many false things in this kind. Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said this. So many false things. So we have to really, really know what Prabhupada is saying. It used to be really fanatical. I mean, it used to be that it was said that if you ate more than, you only, the Prabhupada said only 7 chickpeas was all you could have for breakfast. If you had more than 7 chickpeas, you could fall down in sex desire. And to be forced, you know, at breakfast time. You could be hungry, but no. Seven Shaktis is it, Prabhu?
Well, I'm hungry.
No, it's seven Shaktis, it's all you can. So, you know, it was sometimes like that in the early days. There's so many fanatical things, you know, used to go around. Of course, we become a bit mature now. But we have to be very careful. There's been some Sahaja philosophies circulating lately. We have to be very, very careful that, you know, we're not carried away with some idea different than what Prabhupada said. So, any questions? Yes.
How does our intelligence get covered up?
How does the intelligence get covered up? Jayato Vishayam Bumsam Sangateshu Vajayate Sangat Sangayate Kama Kama Krodo Vijayate Krodad Bhavati Sammaha Sammaham Sati Jirama Natibam Shadvadi Nasho Gurina Shadpranashyati. Notice the word buddhi in that slok. Do you notice the word buddhi? Yes. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust arises. From lust comes anger. That means when you don't get what you want, you get from it comes anger. From anger, bewilderment. From bewilderment, there comes loss of memory. Memory is a builder. Intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again in the material pool. So all it takes is one of the senses. Only even just one sense can pull you away and rob you of your intelligence. Indiyanam hi charatam yanmanu vidyate sadasya harati pragyam vayanam vivamsi. Bhagavad Gita 2:67. As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. So you have to check your senses. You have to keep your senses engaged in Krishna's service. You have to become Goswami. If you remain Godas, a servant of your senses, you risk losing your intelligence at any minute. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the belly, the genitals. There's so many knowledge acquiring and working senses. If these senses are not kept strictly engaged only in the service of Krishna, then you can lose your intelligence. Even taking too much prasadam. Prabhupada says when it overeats prasadam, it becomes bhoga. It's not prasadam. So one has to be very careful. Keep the senses under control. Yeah?
But isn't that that when we born, we don't have any right intelligence?
Isn't that when we are born, we don't have any good intelligence?
Yes, a little child is basically eat whatever he can stick in his mouth. That's the first impulse. Therefore, everything is first thing is his mother's breast, and then whatever else, everything, the whole world is just something you can stick in his mouth. It's something for my sin gratification. But then gradually he gets an idea that, you know, I can share something with my little brother, he can put it in his mouth. And gradually he gets an idea of, you know, serving his family, serving the community, that sense of service gradually expands. And if he can take that sense of service, and he can oppose it in the Supreme, then it becomes perfect. So it's true, a little child doesn't have, his intelligence is not developed, but if he will be engaged from the very beginning in hearing the transcendental messages of Krishna, Hari Katha, from the very beginning, even within the womb, if the mother, when she's pregnant, will always chant or play, sing bhajans or play tapes so the child is hearing transcendental sound vibration. And the child will be greatly, greatly purified by that. And then when coming out, the child should be brought to the temple. And the classes are there. And engage the child. Have the child in the lab. Let the child hear the classes. If he cries, give him a little prasadam and keep him quiet. Let the child hear. And when he grows bigger, don't let him run and play in the lectures. Keep him in your lab. Let the child develop a taste for hearing Bhagavad Gita. Because by that hearing, one gains intelligence. Otherwise, they don't become very intelligent. I went to one house, and the parents had chosen the route of having a very easily accessible babysitter called the television set. And the little boy grew up watching, you know, Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, and all that garbage, you know. And I just happened to sit down in the living room on the couch, and the kid went into a temper tantrum. What's going on here? I sat in his cartoon watching place. Is it? So this boy had not developed any intelligence because the parents had just indulged him in watching mundane cartoons. It's a way to keep him out of their hair. So this, and this should not be. You must engage the children in the very beginning, in hearing, transcendental sound vibration, within the womb, immediately outside of the womb, and as they're growing up, continually. My disciple in Dawson, Bhaicharan Das, he brings his little boy every morning for Bhagavatam before he goes to school. First thing he hears is transcendental Shabda Brahma before he goes to school. So this is how one gains intelligence, by hearing the Vedic wisdom from those who are purely presenting it. That's how intelligence comes. And the same principle for us adults. Right now we're pretty stupid, let's face it. Prayanapa yusha shavya kalavasin yuge yana mandalu sumanamate yo manjibhavya hupadruta. We're very slow intellectually. That used to be a slang word the book distributors used in the airport. Some farm boy, you know, like, they call him slow. So we're slows. We're slow. We're dull-headed people. We're a bunch of slows. Dull-headed. Dullards, is it? We don't have very good intelligence. We're very tamasic, majestic people. So, if we will hear as much as possible, kirtan, lectures, hear from Prabhupada, hear from advanced devotees, and read the books, you know, discuss amongst ourselves Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the names of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the entourage of Krishna, the qualities, the abode of Krishna, the teachings of Krishna. In this way, you see, we'll immerse ourselves. Immersion. They say that non-modern day language gurus say that the best way to learn a language is immersion. You just put yourself in an atmosphere where all you can hear is that language, you see. Instead of just studying it theoretically, or put yourself in an atmosphere where you have to speak it. You have no choice. And that's the fastest way to learn. So the same principle applies for Krishna consciousness. Immersion. Put yourself in an atmosphere where everybody is talking about Krishna, serving Krishna, bowing down to Krishna. Everything is Krishna, 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 Krishna. So just to relate to your surroundings, you have to be Krishna conscious. So in this way, the dullness is simply covering. Actually, we all have transcendental intelligence. Buddhi is there within everyone, transcendental buddhi. But it's covered by this, by the modes of nature. So the influence of the modes of nature will be removed. Daivi hyesha gunamayi mama maya daratyaya mayayuye prapadyante mayam itam tarantite. This divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of material nature is very, very, very difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered into me can easily cross beyond it. So if you will immerse yourself in Krishna consciousness as much as possible, 24 hours a day, then very quickly you will gain transcendental intelligence. And you will know what is right, what is wrong, what is favorable for my Krishna consciousness, and what is unfavorable. You see, and you gain the strength to make the right decision. Sometimes we know what is right, but we're pulled by lust and we do the wrong thing. You see, even though we know. We do it anyway because of lust. So, by hearing, one gains sufficient intelligence to conquer the influence of lust. And the lusty desires come, they say, come on, give me some illicit sex. We say, no. You see, that is intelligent. Any other questions? Comment? Or a question? A question? Hari Bol.
How does give there improve your spiritual advancement? Give there. Compassion.
How to improve your Krishna consciousness as living entity?
How to
improve one's Krishna consciousness?
How to improve your Krishna consciousness? Jai. Well, the first thing is, one has the desire to improve Krishna consciousness. Vedic psychology has four factors. Thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. That is Vedic psychology. So one thinks, there's such a thing as improving my Krishna consciousness. I think that'd be really good for me to do that, because I mean, I become free of anxiety, I become a more compassionate person, a more peaceful person. I think that'd be a pretty good idea, and then I feel like I really want to do that. I want to improve my Krishna consciousness. And then you say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to develop a program for improving my Krishna consciousness. You know, I'm going to, you know, do better japa. I'm not going to sleep late in the morning anymore. You know, I'm going to put on tilak every morning when I get up. You make a plan. This is my plan. I'm going to implement it now. And then you actually do it, you see. Thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. Think it's a better idea to become more Krishna conscious. Feel like it's an idea to become more Krishna conscious. Will to become more Krishna conscious. And then implement a plan, a plan of practical action to make yourself more Krishna conscious. So there's so many ways to do that. You can read more, you can serve more, you can preach more. You can, whatever you're doing already, try to do it with more quality. If I'm washing the pot in Krishna's kitchen, instead of thinking, oh, let me get this over with, then you think, let me do this perfectly. As I explained last night in our Shraddha Prema seminar. By the way, there is a seminar happening tonight upstairs, or downstairs in the auditorium. From 7:30, Shraddha Prema Part 2. Everyone's invited. So as I was explaining, I think it was in the seminar, or it could have been in class yesterday. No, it was in the seminar, that's right. She was the first pujari for our movement, Mother Shalabhati, in Los Angeles. And she was very nice realizations about Krishna consciousness. She said that you should take any activity that you're doing and do it in such a way that you could do it for all of eternity. So just imagine, okay, Prabhu, now you go to the kitchen and wash the pot. Say, oh, by the way, this is your service for all of eternity. You remain here for all of eternity in this kitchen, scrubbing these pots. This is your rasa, Prabhu. You're a pot washer forever, for all of eternity. They go, ah! Or if you be like that, you go, what would you do? The thing is, Krishna, the whole point is to connect with Krishna, you see. On the prema stage, you're directly associating one-on-one with Krishna at every second. You see that in the prema stage, and that's our goal. So any service, is Krishna not present there? He's only present in kirtan, he's not present in the dirty pots. Okay, service in every single place, Krishna is omnipresent. So whatever service I have to do, let me do it in such a way that I can connect with Krishna by doing it as an offering of love to him. You see? So that's the key, how to improve service. Because Krishna is at every step, Krishna is fully present. So try to connect with him. When you chant your japa, try to connect with Krishna through lovingly calling out his name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. When you're hearing the glories of Krishna, try to relish it. Try to take the Shabda Brahma that you're hearing deep, deep, deep into your heart so it can burn through all the lust, all the anger, all the greed, all the madness, all the illusion, the envy, the laziness, all that crud in there accumulated for millions of lifetimes. Take that Shabda Brahma as deep as you can to drive all the crud out, you see. And then you go, wow, this is pretty sweet. I think I might increase my Krishna consciousness even more. Because in the beginning it's a little austere to increase your Krishna consciousness. We have a certain addiction to sense gratification and we're kind of, it's our comfort zone. But if you can just be a little daring, take a little risk, I think I'm going to give up my cigarettes. I'm going to give up, having sex every other night. I'm going to try this process. I'm going to really give it a sincere chance and put faith in Prabhupada. You see, that this process works. I'm going to go ahead and do it and then see by the result. And I guarantee you, if you give it a fair chance, you'll just be absolutely astounded. What kind of nectar is available in those two syllables? How the unlimited oceans of nectar, more than the universe can even contain in those two syllables. You know those two syllables? Krishna. No. So anyway, our time is up and we thank you all very, very much for coming today and hearing these topics. Please become more and more immersed in Krishna consciousness and you will see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.